Hello and welcome to The Ordinary Knitter, the podcast that's mostly about the projects. This week, knits for children and their teddies, soul garden socks, setting yourself knitting targets, and flying along with the Capitan hat. And welcome to episode 22. I didn't get any complaints last week about the sound volume, so I'm going to take it that it's okay and it's manageable, and I'll keep things as they are for now. And if you still find that you're getting horrible crackle or hiss or something, let me know and I'll sort of work out what to do from there. The first thing I mentioned in the intro was Knits for Children and Their Teddies. That's the title of a book by Fiona McTague, and it's published by Collins and Brown. I've got temporary custody of it. It was passed to me at Knit and Natter last week by somebody who had borrowed it from someone else, who is often at Knit and Natter but wasn't there last week, and three bags full. Anyway, she's passed it to me to pass on. And it was great timing, actually. It's an incredibly cute book. They have found the cutest toddlers you've ever seen. And it's basically exactly what it says on the cover. It's patterns for woolly hats and jumpers and things for toddlers, and similar patterns for their teddies. And I haven't got little tinies anymore, and that really suits me fine, but looking at these, it's just, I practically laid an egg. I was so broody. They're so cute. But it was good timing for me because I've promised my son that I will knit some form of jumper for his cuddly rabbit. And anyone who was listening a few weeks ago knows that we've had something of a false start on dyeing yarn, and I may just abandon dyeing yarn for the time being and have another go at that next year. It was, in fact, something I wondered about trying to do for the village show next year, because one of their classes is any other craft that doesn't fit into one of the stipulated categories, and there's no category for hand-dyed yarn. So I thought I might have another go at that. I might practice two or three times. I mean, I've got virtually a year, well, good intentions. We'll talk about that when we comes to talking about setting ourselves knitting targets, but I could have a go at that and see how I get on. I haven't got any dyeing skills. I often see pictures of hand-dyed yarn on Instagram and I'm just in awe. I mean, people are so fantastically skilled and so creative, and I don't have that. But that's not to say that, given a following wind and not putting quite so much time on the microwave, I couldn't dye something that might pass muster. Anyway, the point is, I think for now, if I'm going to knit this rabbit a jumper or something, I think I'm just going to use the yarn I've got, because if I wait, I'm very good at doing this. I've got a manageable thing, which is knitting the little jumper, but I put in the way, and not exactly an insurmountable obstacle, but an obstacle, something you have to set your mind to solving. And I'm very good at doing that, and it's not deliberate, but I hope now that I've identified it, perhaps I can start to dismantle it. Anyway, it's a very sweet book. If you know somebody who has got toddlers themselves, or who has toddler grandchildren, somebody who's a knitter, I'd have thought this little book would have been a real gift, because it's lovely photographs. I haven't tried any of the patterns. I don't know what they're like, but having glanced through at them, I mean, there's on page 13 there's the most exquisite Fair Isle sweater modelled by this absolute little poppet, and there's a matching one for her teddy, and oh, it's just gorgeous. I think I'm going to have to go and put it away, or I'm going to get myself into difficulties. I mentioned the Soul Garden socks. Last week I was talking about choosing patterns for doing some slouchy socks for my daughter. She was given some slouchy socks for Christmas by a friend, not handmade, and she's worn them to death just when she's in the house, to the point where she's actually started to sew them up. And my daughter voluntarily sewing is, well, you sort of check that hell hasn't frozen over, really. It's so unusual for her. So I found this pattern, and I couldn't, when I was going to put the link in the show notes last week, I couldn't find it online anywhere. And I've scrutinised the pattern a bit more, and what looks like the title of the pattern isn't actually. It's just a kind of whimsical comment. The title of the pattern is actually somewhere else on the page. Anyway, I found it, and they're called Soul Garden Socks. Soul as in S-O-U-L. They are on Ravelry. I'll link in the show notes, but Soul Garden Socks are on there. Again, that's a free download. It was a quick knit. I chose to do a blue toe and heel and cuff, and I have some variegated blue yarn which I've used for a few small projects and as an accent, a colour accent on various little things recently. I also used it for the Lawrence jumper that I made for my son. No episode of the podcast at the moment is complete without reference to the Lawrence jumper. And bizarrely, when I was making a whole great big jumper, I managed to match up all the points where the variegation in the yarn changes, because at some places it's a marl, in other places you've got quite a large area of royal blue and then dark blue. So it was quite a lot of potential there to mismatch. And I did find it trickier. I thought I was in the same place on both the yarns, and I wasn't quite. I mean, she's not bothered, but it's not. Not quite as neatly matched up as I would have liked it to be, ideally. Next time, and I think probably there will be a next time, I'm going to make the opposite colourway. I'm going to do cream toe and heel and cuff, and do blue fuselage and sort of leg area. I don't know what you call that stretch, the main bit that goes up the leg. But I'm going to have to narrow the cuff. It's a 2x2 rib, and I always used to do 2x2 rib when I made socks for my husband. But I changed that a few pairs ago to 1x1 rib, because it just makes such an enormous difference to how well the sock fits around the ankle. So I think what I'm going to need to do for her next time is go down to a 1x1 rib, because the calf, it just has no stretch on it. And she doesn't really mind, she's just turned the cuff down, but that's not really what I wanted for her. Also, she's very slim, so I think I would also narrow the number of stitches for the cuff. Or I could even do a rolled cuff, actually. I think for a slouchy sock that you're not trying to work with a shoe or a boot, a rolled cuff is quite nice. And I've seen another pattern called, I think it's called the clog sock. They're designed to be worn inside Crocs. And that's got a rolled cuff. So I could do something like that. The pattern was quite open to you using various elements that you yourself like to put into your sock pattern. And anyone who's listened to this for any length of time knows that I'm a real cheerleader for the Flegel heel. But the pattern I tend to use for my socks, I sometimes just need a little reminder for how to get the Flegel heel going. And it's just whether or not you slip that a stitch at the beginning or not, and I can never remember, because I knit socks at months intervals, and that information just doesn't stay in my head. But I just went online and sort of looked for some random bit of information about it, and I found a very good tutorial about Flegel heels that wasn't you need this many stitches, because you know all sorts of projects can have differing numbers of stitches. It was the principles. It was you know, if you start with this many stitches, then you need to increase to so many stitches in relation to what you started with, and that sort of thing. And I found that really, really useful. So I'll link to that. That's just a web page. I found that really useful. If you struggle with turning a heel on a sock, if you don't like picking up, if you get fed up with a little hole that often appears at the top corner of the heel, I really suggest you try the Flegel heel. Something that worried me about it at first was that it doesn't have any reinforcement. I mean, this may be wrong, but I always understood that a classic heel flap heel has extra strength in the heel flap, because obviously that part of the sock gets a lot of abuse. And I thought, oh, you know, the Flegel heel doesn't have that. I wonder if it's going to stand up. But my husband's got socks that are now 3 years old that I did with a Flegel heel, and he wears these literally. He wears his handmade socks every single day. He'll only wear other socks if there's been a bit of an obstacle with the washing and I've just got a bit behind. So these socks are being worn at least every week, if not more often than that. And I've yet to see any suffering on the heel at all. So there's no need to have any concerns on that score. They've been tried and tested. This Soul Garden Socks is knit with an Aran weight yarn, and I'm absolutely up to my ears in Arran Weight yarn, so that was what I needed to use. I have to use my stash, I can't buy any new yarn at the moment. And it stipulated 3.75mm needles. Now I have only one set of 3.75mm circulars. I always knit on magic loop, so I tend to go for a really big loop on, or a really big cable on all my circulars. I that just suits me fine, because if you're doing magic loop, you want the slack, and you know, you're, I say your cable can't be too big. There are times when the cable kind of slightly gets in the way, but that's a tiny price to pay for the flexibility and the ease of magic loop. But the only needle I had was this one, and it's I suppose they might be a bamboo needle. They probably are, actually. But the real thing that I struggled with is that the cable is really thick. Now, I don't know what's normal, but I mean, I'm just having a quick look here at all the circular needles I've got on. Yeah, all of the, I've got some horrible crappy old circular needles, and even they have a narrow cable, and all my lovely Knit Pro interchangeables, they have a narrow cable as well, and that makes life so much easier. But these needles, they have a cable the same diameter as the needle, and it's all a really nasty squeaky plastic, and I had so much friction between the stitches and the cable, and I was really wrestling against this friction, moving my stitches around. And as you know, with magic loop, you know, when you get to the end of one half of your stitches, you have to shuffle your needles around. And I was struggling with this, and of course, being a sock, there weren't vast numbers of stitches, so I was having to do that. That sort of came up quite frequently compared to some magic loop projects where you might have 100 or 200 stitches, and so you're not actually having to do that bit very often. Although I suppose thinking about it, with magic loop, you probably wouldn't have 200 stitches, would you? You'd probably just knit in the round, just knit standard for that. But anyway, that's a tiny detail. I never imagined that the material that the cable is made of and the diameter of the cable could make so much difference to how it felt knitting with a particular needle. And I have to keep these needles because they are the only 3.75s that I've got, but I think I'm going to be asking Father Christmas for some 3.75 needles for my Knit Pro set. If they do them, I hope they do. Do you listen to Helen Stewart's Curious Handmade podcast? I like it very much. She's into a number of different crafts, but her podcast usually focuses on knitting. And she has, over the summer, she had some ideas about new habits that she was going to try and form over the long holiday, not to do with knitting. And I had exactly, independently, I had exactly the same thoughts. And interestingly, we both, I say failed, it's always a strong word, but essentially we both failed in the same way. And then also, like her, and I imagine like many people in the UK, in September, the new school year starts. And I think for many of us, after what can be the chaos and to some extent the stress, even with essentially well-behaved delightful kids, it's still quite hard going when you've got them at home for 6 or 7 weeks, you know, and it's just constant food production. And I don't believe in necessarily amusing my kids, but I do believe in facilitating their activities, and so you always seem to be taking them somewhere or providing them with something or helping them to do something or whatever it is. And when they go back to school in September, you know, there's this kind of, oh, you know, sigh of relief, and you know that Christmas is on the horizon, and it feels like a regrouping time. You're metaphorically sharpening your pencils and, you know, getting your new sandwich box organised. And Helen was talking in this context about planning. She said at the beginning of the year, she sets herself a sort of knitting plan for the year. And she was reviewing it now. And it just sort of got me thinking about this business of setting yourself knitting targets. Do you do that? Is that a way that you operate with your knitting? And I realised as I was listening to this that that really was where the comparison curled up and died, because, or where the similarities curled up and died, because I very much don't. I mean, at the beginning of the year, it's a little bit like reading. You know, every year I set myself the 50 book challenge, and every year I fail, but it doesn't matter because I really enjoy the reading. And there will, every year with books, I'll decide that I'm going to try and do a certain type of thing. Like, for instance, this year I've read two or three classics. Had I been putting them off? Interesting question. I hadn't been getting round to them, put it like that. This isn't a book podcast, but just briefly, I read Lord of the Flies a couple of weeks ago, and now I'm reading Frankenstein, and both of these actually fit in with the English syllabus that my daughter's been doing. And in turn, I've set her a classic to read, which is Daphne du Maurier's Rebecca. And I don't know what I'm going to read after Frankenstein. I've no idea. It'll probably be in the next week or so, week or 10 days. But I do know that at the beginning of December, I want to read A Christmas Carol. That's as far as my planning goes. Next year, I might decide that I'm going to read a certain series of books in the right order, although that usually depends on the library having them, and they're very good at not having one of a set. But, you know, the woes of local libraries is a whole other podcast. So, and it's a bit the same with knitting. For instance, I knew this year that I needed to knit my son a couple of jumpers for the winter. Hooray, I've done that. I also knew that I wanted to knit my husband another jumper, because when this year started, I'd already knitted him the To the Sea jumper, and I knew I wanted to do him another, and I did. I got that finished January, February. After that, I didn't have any really obvious things. I probably knew on some level that I wanted to do him a couple of pairs of socks, because they, you know, they always go down well. But apart from that, I tend to take the knitting as it comes, and I rather like that. You know, a need will arise, for instance, at the moment, I'll talk about it next, but I'm knitting this hat. And I knew all year that I wanted to knit myself a hat. And then when we had the invitation to this do in August, and I knew what dress I was going to wear, I knew at that point I want to do myself a shrug to go with it. So I'm very happy to choose my knitting projects as a situation arises. So loosely, my plan at the moment, I'm doing this hat at the moment, then I want to whip up a jumper for my son's teddy from that book, then I'm going to redo this To the Sea jumper. It's going to be such a big project, that's why I'm sort of slightly, because there's so many other things I want to do as well. I mentioned these clog socks earlier. I might do some of those as stocking fillers. And I've got one or two far-flung friends and relatives who I know would, you know, just be a little present to make for them. And in the new year, in other words, before we get round to the other end of this winter and the weather's getting too warm again, I'd like to make myself a wrap top or a sort of jacket cum cardigan. And I know that based on my stash, those are realistic. But also, I'm going to be throwing in some baubles as I go along. I've also got a lot of this variegated blue Aran I've talked about. I bought a lot of that. I mean, just having a quick look, I can see 1, 2, 3, 4, 4, 8. I've got 1,600 grams of that, and I bought it with the full expectation of making another jumper for my husband from that. Although blue isn't necessarily his colour now I come to it, but anyway. So, you know, that's sort of, those are in my head and in some way and in some order over the next few months, over the next 6 months probably, those things will happen. I haven't decided, my husband and I together haven't yet decided what style of jumper he wants for this variegated blue yarn. Plus I've got the To the Sea jumper. And I wondered if anybody fancied doing a knit-along, a cowl, of a men's jumper in time for Christmas. You might be thinking of knitting a jumper for a man in your life. And I wondered if anybody fancied doing that. Knit-alongs are quite a thing. I've always fancied doing one. So let me know what you think. I'm likely to be having to do a jumper anyway in relatively near future, so I'll obviously post details of that at the time. I'm quite enjoying knitting this hat. I had fun the other day rooting around looking for a pattern. I found a few patterns that I like. The deciding factor is it has to have a brim, because I just look ridiculous in a beanie without a brim. It's deeply, deeply unflattering. And really, I wanted one that had a bulk, that used a bulky yarn, because I've got a brown bulky yarn. You can get some lovely hats in interesting colours, but again, I look a bit daft. I have brown hair, so a brown hat on brown hair, that's just fine. I'm not looking to make a statement with my hats. You know, scarves and cowls and gloves and things, fine, I'm happy to go to town on those. But with a hat, I just want to be relatively unobtrusive. So the one that really fitted the bill was the Capitan hat. It's a very simple pattern. It's got cables at the front, and it's got some quite wide slices of rib at the back. I think it's you knit 5 purl 2, and so as you narrow towards the top of the head, they're sort of very elongated triangles, and I'm not mad keen on that, but I've kind of shut my mind to it because that's around the back. I'm not going to see it. At the front, you get the cables. I would prefer a narrower rib, but then on the other hand, I'd be moving my yarn backwards and forwards far more frequently. But with this new yarn hold, which has now become completely natural to me just in the space of sort of 10 days, that's much less of a big deal, moving my yarn backwards and forwards. So in the pattern, it says that you can knit this in a couple of hours. Well, I'd say from my own experience that is a pushing it a bit, I think. When I was looking at the pattern and looking at it being modelled, I thought to myself, I think it looks a little bit shallow on the crown. You know, I'd want it coming further down on my head, further down over my ears. But I thought, you know, she says on it, it's suitable for people with a big head or lots of hair, and I've certainly got lots of hair. And I thought, fine, okay. So, you know, unsurprisingly, you do this in two stages. You knit the hat and then you do the brim. And it says to cast on with a long tail cast on, but I thought, no, I'm going to do my normal stretchy cast on. So I did my Jenny's stretchy cast on, and it was fine. And I got to the top, and I basically completely finished the hat section and put it on my head, and yep, it was definitely too shallow, which was kind of reassuring, because when I'd looked at the pattern, I'd thought that, and it's fair enough, I can trust that now, you know, that element of judgment. And as I said, I wasn't too keen on these huge slices of triangle at the back. So I thought, fine, it's not a problem. I'll just pull it all out and start again, and I'll do a different rib. And I'm nearly there now, because I started again last night. I'm just going to do an extra set of cable, which is about 7 or 8 rounds, you know, which with a chunky yarn, that makes quite a difference. So I also realised by the time I'd finished why she stipulates a long tail cast on, and it's to do with picking up stitches for the brim. And I don't know if that would have been so easy with the stretchy cast on. So I did use the long tail cast on this time. I just have to hope when it comes to it that it doesn't make too much difference with the stretch, especially with this big rib. You know, I associate stretch with a much smaller rib. So I cast on with the long tail cast on, and I was about 20 rows in before I realised that I hadn't done a narrower rib, which was kind of irritating, but I thought, sod it, I'm not starting again now. So I've done the first two sets of cable. Normally there's 3 sets of cabling, but I'm going to do 4 to get the extra depth. I'm on to my third set at the moment. I'm partway through. Definitely 2 hours is pushing it, but you know, maybe another evening, because I'll be knitting when I wait at school this afternoon. Then my son has his swimming lesson this evening, so that'll be another, well, by the time I'm waiting for him to get changed, I can end up with anything up to an hour of knitting. Plus I've got this evening, so I may well get it done tonight. It's on 6mm needles, and I'm back to my lovely old Knit Pros, which are just so much nicer than that horrible plastic needle. It's really very much an active pleasure to be using my Knit Pros again. And I learnt from Stacey Perry's Very Pink Knits podcast that Knit Pro, the name Knit Pro is what's used in Europe, and in America and Canada it's known as Knitter's Pride. It's the same thing. And on that note, I finally, last week, I think it was Friday, I got my replacement needle. If you've been listening for a while, you may recall that during the summer I was fixing one of my, I think it was a 3.5mm interchangeable onto a cable, and it snapped. It just sheared straight off at the end of the metal shank of the needle. And Knit Pro were very responsive initially. I posted it on Instagram saying, oh no, look what happened. And to my astonishment, because I didn't realise this was an option, they contacted me on Instagram and said, Well, you can get a replacement. Either get it from the place where you bought it, or if no joy there, you can get it directly from us. Oh, I was absolutely delighted. It wasn't an option to get it from the place where we'd originally bought it. So we tried, but that wasn't happening. So I got back to them. But unfortunately, I've had to chase up a lot. Anyway, I'm delighted to have it, but it did take 2 months. And needless to say, now when I attach an interchangeable to a cable, I'm very, very careful. I make sure that I'm supporting the needle very much at the point where the shank and the needle join, because I'd just be horrified to have it happen again. And I've also had interchangeables where the shank or the thread inside the shank for screwing it on to the cable hasn't worked properly. And my husband's very handy, and he's tried to sort of sort them out for me a bit. It's amazing. I mean, at one point he was soldering something in my phone with a pin, so he's very able to do very minute work, and he always knows what needs to be done to sort things. But he hasn't really managed to do it, because the problem is that, of course, once you've joined them, you've got to be able to unjoin them, and the join has to be smooth. You can't be, catching your yarn where something's been squished around a bit in order to fit properly. But never mind. Generally, vast majority of the time, they're absolutely great, and I love the modular nature of the set. I started off in February last year. They were a Valentine's gift last year. I started off with a very good set. So I say basic. I mean, that sort of makes it sound a bit minimal, which it wasn't. I had a great set of needles and a good choice of cables. But since then, I've added in another couple of cables, some short tips, and some extra sizes of needle, which is great. But you know what it's like as a knitter. It's always more. There's always little niches. My objects of desire at the moment are some pretty place markers, not stitch markers that you put through a stitch, but the place markers, the little rings with a charm of some sort attached to them that you place over the needle. And that's been the case with this Capitan hat. You have to place markers at certain places. And because they're a 6mm needle, some of my markers won't fit. So I've had to crack out some new ones that I've got. They're just plastic locking stitch markers, but the design of them, they're a bit more short and fat, so they actually fit over the needles better. But I'd still like some lovely sort of pretty place markers. So I dropped heavy hints to Father Christmas the other night. And also a yarn bowl would be lovely as well. I don't know realistically if I would use it that much, because it's not unusual for me to be knitting from both ends of a ball of skein of yarn at the same time. And the other thing is, I do find that you do come across the odd knot and tangle. But still, I like the idea. And they're very lovely things. Again, I see them on Instagram and I just think, oh, you're so pretty. I'm on Instagram far more than I'm on Twitter. I love Twitter. I have a personal Twitter account and I run some business Twitter accounts and I use them constantly. But for some reason, for the ordinary knitter, it doesn't work out so well for me. So I'm on there, but I don't use it very much. And sadly, I keep forgetting about Knitting Hour. It's just... The trouble is, it clashes with my son's bedtime for a start, so I'm always coming to it late. And by the time I come downstairs from putting my son to bed, my mind is elsewhere. And every week, suddenly on Friday or Saturday, I think, oh, I missed it. It's on a Thursday evening. I think, is it 7:30 to 8:30 or something like that? I'm not confident that's right, so you might want to check it. But all you have to do is use the hashtag Knitting Hour, and the information will be there. I'm the Ord Knitter on Twitter. I'm the Ordinary Knitter on Instagram. And on Ravelry, I'm Ordinary Knitting. I don't have a great presence on Ravelry. What I do is I record all my projects. Most of my patterns come from Ravelry. And I use the Ravelry systems to record what I'm doing with my patterns. So I'm on there, but, I'm not exactly a heavy user. I think that's me for this week. Thank you very much for listening. I look forward to hearing what you're up to with your knitting, and I look forward to talking to you next week. Bye.